Very good evening. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Special thanks to our host, Southeast Hebrew Congregation in Silver Spring, Maryland. Yuma Lamed Ches. Yuma 38A, pagination page 75, starting from this third wide line. Masnisin, towards the beginning of the line. A new Mishnah. Now this, very interestingly, is a Mishnah which we encountered in Shkolim Daf Yudalid. It's a list of people which Chazal were not happy with. And we will see that, as we saw in Shkolim, this Gemara shows up, that Chazal retracted some of their discomfort with the behavior of these families, because the families came up with an explanation for their behavior, which always helps if you could explain your behavior, right? But the last one, possibly the last two, remain on the bad list, so to speak. Let's see the Mishnah. Ve'elu lignai. These people are seen in a negative light. Shabes garmu, the family of garmu, lo ratzu lelamed amas alechem aponim, they did not want to teach how to make the lechem haponim, the special showbreads on the shulchan. Apparently Chazal wanted to get control, so to speak, of it. They wanted to make sure it would have its continuity and not be held hostage by this one family. And the family would not release the information of how they managed to make these lechem haponim in the special way that they did. The Gemara tells us how Chazal went ahead and tried to import experts from Alexandria, and they weren't able to do it as well as Beis Garmu, and they had to reinstate Beis Garmu, and this Beis Garmu family stood on ceremony and said, "We're not coming back so fast. You bumped us out. Now manage without us," until they doubled the salary in order to get them back. Shabes Avtinos, the family of Avtinos, lo rotzu lelamed al maaseh haketores. They didn't want to teach how they did the ketores, and again the Gemara says they tried to break the monopoly and brought in experts, and the experts weren't able to get the ketores to go up in one smooth column, and they had to bring Beis Avtinos back to make the ketores, and they had to double the salary in order to get them back.
These are famous kohanim?
Not necessarily kohanim. Okay. I think we specialists. Once tried to spend time to figure out who they were, but no. Okay. They had this job, though.
Okay.
Now, they explained that they didn't want to release this information because they were afraid it would get into the wrong hands and it would be used to honor Avodah Zarah. And that's a problem. So they kept it as a family secret and they didn't want to release it. And Chazal did not really believe them too much in their excuses until finally, after the Churban, one of their leaders came and said, "I'm entrusting it to Chazal because I see we no longer have control." And it became clear that really was their motive all along, simply to honor Hashem and keep the secrets secure so that these methods of honor would remain only in the Beis HaMikdash. The Mishnah continues and tells us two others. Hugras ben Levi, Yehudea Perak Bashir, Veloratza Lalamed. Hugras ben Levi knew a special method in song, and he didn't want to teach. And ben Kamtsar, and he remains on the bad list, Loratza Lalamed Amase Aksav. He didn't want to teach a special way of writing the name of Hashem. He was able to do it with four quills, and he was able to do Yud Kei Vav Kei at the same time. Tesis Yom Tov explains the significance of that is that the name is never halfway written, and it attests to the fact that Hashem is one. Hashem is Achdus, and the entire name gets written Ba'achdus, all at once. So that's an honor for Hashem, and we couldn't really conceive how it would be abused by anybody else. Who else has a use for such a thing? And therefore, we would have wanted him to teach it to us. How do you write a Sefer Torah in such a way? Al Rishonim Ne'emar, on the first ones, the previous Mishnah, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. You mention a Tzadik, it's a blessing. Val Elu Ne'emar, and regarding these, V'shem Rishaim Yirkov, the name of Rishaim will rot. And the Gemara on Amid Beis actually delves into this a bit and says that you're not supposed to name a person after a Rasha. And of course...
You are now muted. You are now unmuted.
And of course, the Mefarshim grapple with what happens if a particular name is used by different people throughout the ages, and some people were Rishayim, some people were Tzadikim. Are you allowed to use the name? We know the name Shaul, Menashe. I mean, there are different names that Yishmael. Is Yishmael Kayin Gadol?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But the Gemara gives the example of the name Doeg, which is off the radar screen. We don't use that. Okay. Drop down all the way to the last line in the middle of the line. Until this point, this Gemara we kind of saw in Shkalim. And then there's a piece extra over here, which is really remarkable. Mikan Omar ben Azai. From here, ben Azai said, B'shimcha yikra'ucha, in your name they will call, Uvimkomcha yoshivucha, and in your place they will set you in. Umishalach yitnulach, unto Amid Beis, and from what belongs to you, they're going to give you. What's he trying to say? Ein adam nogeya b'muchan lachaveiro. A person can never take what's designated by Hashem for his friend. Ve'imalchus nogas bechaverto, and one kingdom cannot infringe on its fellow kingdom, afilu kemole nima, even a thread's breadth. Imagine a timeline that is so fine-tuned that instead of days or hours, you go down to the milliseconds or beyond. When Hashem says, this kingdom is over, it's over, and not a minute, millisecond before. What is Ben Azai telling us? They tried to remove Beis Avtinus. They tried to remove Beis Garmu. They couldn't. They couldn't replace them. Says Ben Azai, don't worry so much. They're not going to be able to replace you unless Hashem wants them to replace you. And if it's still your malchus, your position, your greatness, then you're going to keep it. And this is true in grand kingdoms, Rashi mentions, and it's true in the more mundane pursuits. Ben Azai is assuring you that that's the real lesson of this Gemara. Hashem's in control. Hashem has a plan. Hashem runs His world, b'diyuk. That's the famous Chovas HaLevavos in Shara Bitachon, Perek Gimel, in the fifth comment, the Chovas HaLevavos writes, Ein biyad echon mehabruim, it is not in the power of anything in creation, lahoel es nafsho o lahazika, to do good or bad, unless Hashem wills it, and that's the concept of Hashkacha, of Hashem running the world. If you'll drop down to the end of the daf, there's another phenomenal insight regarding Hashkacha, the way Hashem works with us, regarding free choice, Bechira. One line up at the end of the line. Balitame, if a person comes to do bad, poschim lo, they allow him. They open up the avenue. He wants to eat non-kosher. So, there'll be a non-kosher store open for him. We will allow him. We won't shackle him. But Bala Taher, but if a person tries to do good, Messayinoso, you help him. This is not, we'll just allow you to do good. We're going to help you do the good. There's Siyata Deshmaya, very big contrast, even though there's free choice in both cases, but Hashem is going to help you along if it's for good. Tana Devei Rabbi Yishmael taught, Mashallah Adam Shayamocha Nefet Ve'apar Simon, a person is selling bad-smelling things, Balimdod Nefet, when he wants to measure out the bad-smelling thing, you can count it yourself. You can measure it yourself. I'll be here at the end to pay the bill. But when he comes to measure out the good smelling things, you tell him, wait for me. I want to count it with you. So that we should both benefit from the wonderful fragrance. So Hashem says, I want my nachas. You're doing something good, I'm going to do it with you. You want to do something bad, there's free choice. I have no choice. I'm not going to lock the door on you. You want to leave, you can leave. But I'm not going with you. But again, the hashgacha, you want to do something good, that's the way Hashem relates with us. I'm going to help you along. Yeshikoach, have a great evening.